Does God really hear us when we pray? What is prayer anyway? And what do we do when God seems to be silent? Today we'll be talking to Pavel Goya, who knows firsthand the power of persistent prayer. Stay with us to learn more right here on Revival for Mission. This is Revival for Mission, and today we are going to be talking about prayer. Elder Wilson, you have experienced prayer through your parents first and through your whole life. In this great controversy, in this great battle between good and evil that we're living in, prayer seems to play a pretty important role. Why?
Well, it actually is the central role. Our belief in the Word of God, of course, is very central. Our understanding of how God speaks to us through impressions of the Holy Spirit, through other people influencing us in a very spiritual way that is biblically connected. But prayer is that key that unlocks heaven's storehouse, and it is an absolutely integral part of the Christian's life. You breathe in order to live. You need to pray in order to spiritually live. Prayer is such an integral part of my life, and I think your life. I don't know what people do without prayer. I guess that's why some people turn to substitute solutions, be it whatever, alcohol or other challenges, drugs or whatever it is, to try to take their minds off of the things that are plaguing them, when in reality, you can turn to the Lord and share everything with Him and also thank Him for what He's doing. In fact, I pray a lot, and people don't know it, because I'm praying in a committee meeting. I'm praying in a situation. I'm shooting a prayer up, Lord, help me, give me wisdom. And every morning I try to claim James 1:5 to ask for wisdom because I need it. I mean, it's absolutely vital. I just wish all of our viewers would be able to fully comprehend those that are not experiencing prayer, fully comprehend the necessity of prayer. And I don't hold myself up as a great example. It's simply that I don't know what I would do without prayer.
There are two parts to it that really make a difference to me in how I see prayer and how I see some people struggling with it. And the first part is that you need to understand that God loves you. He genuinely loves you very much. That's the part that sometimes is difficult depending on what upbringing we've had. The second part is that you need to be humble enough to know that you don't have it all together and that Jesus will help you. So those are two important things to me when it comes to prayer. Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. And we're here with Pavel Goya, who is a man of prayer and has discovered that prayer can move mountains in his life. Pavel, let's start at the beginning. You grew up in communist Romania. How was that like? What was that like?
Well, it depends the perspective. While people don't have in communism a lot of freedom, it challenges them to pray more. We have a tendency when we hit some struggles to seek God, and prayer brings you closer to God, and you can experience His power and His presence, unlike when you have everything you need, no challenges, you know.
So when you were 5 years old, you had a special calling from God, and then you responded to that calling. But then when you became a teenager, you did a very teenage thing, which is to put friends before the calling. Give us an insight into that experience that you've had.
First or second, let's say the first one. At five, there was a pastor from the union, and I don't know if I should give his name, wonderful person. Forai was his name, excellent, excellent, dedicated, spiritual, godly man. And he preached in our church that Sabbath from Jeremiah 29:11, and he said that God has a plan for people, but people many times go to God asking God's blessing for their plan instead of seeking God's plan for their life. And he said we should see God's plan and follow God's plan. And so I was five, so I went in the front of the church under the apple tree. I'll never forget, big, red, delicious apples, lower branches. And I kneeled down and I said, Lord, what is the plan for my life? I would like to fulfill it.
Now, let me just interrupt for a minute. You were 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, our viewers ought to remember, five-year-olds, four-year-olds, six-year-olds, they have a real choice to make. Amen. About God. Please, I interrupted you, but that's so important.
And I remember praying with these very words. I said, I am only five. I remember this specific. I said, Lord, I am only five. Can you use a child? Do you need me? Can you use me? And then I went to my father. I said, I did pray, but he doesn't talk. And my father said, what are you talking about? And my father and the local pastor and the pastor from the union and another elder, the four of them were under an almond tree. Talking. And I get in between them. I look to my father. I said, he doesn't answer. My father said, what are you talking about? I said, the pastor said that we should see God's plan. I did, and he doesn't talk. How does he talk? And my father said to me, God talks to you through his word. I said, give me the Bible. But you don't know how to read yet. You are not in school. I said, give me the Bible. Took the Bible, opened it somewhere, put my finger. I said, can you read here for me? And it was Jeremiah chapter 1 in verse 5 or 6. It says, don't say I am a child, because you will speak for me. Mm. And that got into my memory. God wants me to serve.
And that was your calling.
That was my calling.
So how did you get so involved later in life in prayer and the power of prayer? I mean, how did that develop into, of course, what you are doing now, which is so focused on prayer?
Yes, that's an excellent question. My father was a man of prayer. When I say a man of prayer, he spent nights in prayer. He built churches, he gave Bible studies, he did evangelism. He brought Bibles for over 20 years. Every week, a load of Bibles, smuggling them into the country from former Yugoslavia. And he would pray again and again that God's work would prosper, would advance in Romania, and people would get Bibles. And I would see him. We had a kind of a train apartment. It was long. You'd go from room to room to get to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I am usually very hungry. I can eat many times a day. And in the evening, I would
even
go.
Even now, huh?
Even now.
It does not show.
I don't gain a pound. Too much burning.
Let's not talk about that. It's
okay.
It's very upsetting. Keep going.
And so I would go from room to room to go to the kitchen and eat. And if it was late, like 10 p.m., my father was praying. And if I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would go to grab an apple or a bite or a banana, he was still praying. Mm. And in the morning, if I would go, he was still praying. And I would ask him and talk to him. And he would tell me stories from his prayer, how the police caught him with Bibles and how God protected him. And then he would say, and I am praying for you and your sisters and your mother. And I am praying for the church. And again, he would say, the more you pray, the more you allow God to work in you, through you. And so many times when I started to wander a little away from the church, I would say, why do you pray so long? He would say, for you. And I would say, I don't need so much prayer. He said, that's the reason I am praying so much. So I grew up in that environment. Hmm.
Now, you mentioned a beautiful text in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you were 5 years old when this was resonating in your mind. God has developed now your acute dependence upon Him through prayer. And I know that even specifically. You tell me when we see each other, I'm praying for you, or you send me a little note. And at our recent meeting that we had called Annual Council of our Executive Committee, you urged me to make sure that we had a prayer time. And God opened the door for that, where we had a dedicated prayer time. What is it about prayer that is so important? What is the purpose of prayer? Because God knows everything, doesn't He? I mean, why is it that we need to be beseeching God for certain things, thanking Him for certain things? What's the function of prayer?
And so thank you so much for that question. And we cannot, in the way I understand, regardless how hard we work, we should work hard, we should be committed, we should be dedicated 100%. But regardless how good programs, how much we work, unless God would bless, there is no success. Unless the Holy Spirit works, we cannot really change anybody. We cannot change ourselves. And so I believe, number one, that by praying more, we make ourselves available to God and not only give Him permission, because God respects our choices, not only give Him permission to work, but we make ourselves available. But number two, the more we pray, the more we know Him. So when He gives us a plan, we trust Him, because usually God's plans are impossible to even understand, moreover to do, like to Noah, build an ark, or to Joshua, walk around Jericho. Don't plans don't make a lot of sense for the human logic. And so the more we pray, the more we know God, the more we know Him, the more we understand Him. And to know God is the greatest blessing. The more we trust Him, so when He gives us the plan, we are ready for that plan so God can work. But it's more than that. The more we pray specifically for people, for things, the more we care, and the more God not only can work for them, but can impress us how to work for them. And so basically, through continual prayer, we are continually connected. And in John 15, it says, without me, I am the vine, you are the branch. Without me, you can bear no fruit. Without being connected, we can have no results in our power. So that's one of the reasons. But then I'm going to go a little deeper to your question, the function of prayer. So many times people through prayer understand asking things for our personal needs. There is nothing wrong to present our needs. But I think that the more we grow closer to Christ, the more we forget self and start to focus on God, His honor, His glory, His work, and people's salvation and other needs, and we start to forget self. And this is, I believe, the function of prayer should not be to acquire things, but rather to know God and serve God and honor God and allow God to use us. And I think that we should use prayer to focus on God and allow us to use us instead of get blessings from God.
Mm-hmm. Last night, I was in a meeting with 140 prayer warriors. We have every week in all of the different social media channels of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we receive about 50,000 messages, most of them prayer requests from different parts of the world. And these over 100 prayer warriors, they organize themselves into shifts 24 hours a day, and they manage to answer every prayer. They manage to pray for people and answer them within 7 minutes. That's that what we've got at the moment. So it's a big prayer operation.
Wonderful.
And what they've mentioned to me and what we talked about is after 40 minutes or 1 hour of fervent intercessory prayer, where they put themselves in the situation with the person they're praying. So if, let's say, Joseph asks for us to pray because he lost his job, then the prayer warrior prays for 2-3 minutes. It's not massively long prayers for each one, for their job, but they put themselves in Joseph's shoes because he has a family and now he needs to provide and he doesn't know how. And then they move on to the next person and the next person. After 40 minutes, they all burst into tears. They cannot contain the emotion of praying for another person. They have to take a break. They have to stop for a bit because it's too much. In your experience, why is that? Why does it move us so much to pray for people that you've never met?
So we can pray generic prayers, or we can pray specific prayers, like forgive my sins, or be specific. Thank you for everything, or be specific. Thank you for helping me to catch the train, or whatever. When you pray generic for the church, be with my church, that doesn't move anybody. But when you start to pray specific for people, for names, for mothers and children and husbands and health and the elder and the pastor, when you are specific, the more time you invest in them praying for them, the more you know them, the more you care for them, and the more God can work. That's what actually brings not only us close to God, but close to each other, when we invest in each other and care for one another.
Yeah.
So prayer, because we may have some viewers on the program saying, but you know, God knows everything. We believe it. So why can't I just say to God, dear Lord, thank you for everything you've done today. You know the long list of things that I want you to remember. You know them even better than I do. So just remember it, check, and then I'm out of here in terms of prayer. You're saying that prayer not only appeals to God, but really helps to change us so that we are more receptive to what God is saying. Now, that's something I think that a lot of people really need to think about even more. And how can then people pray for longer than 2 minutes? You run out of things, and then I know you pray a lot. How do you pray longer than 2.5 minutes?
And so, as I mentioned before, not that people have to start with 2 hours. People need to start with whatever, 15 minutes, but the more they pray, the more they fall in love with prayer and becomes life. And then the more they can pray, so they increase to 30 minutes to 1 hour and so on in time. But when people pray generic, that prayer is short and we don't care a lot. It's like a duty. We don't even think what we pray, it becomes like poetry, like routine. But when we pray specific, it takes time. But when we pray, we need to remember prayer is a dialogue. Mm-hmm. So if we not only talk, but take time to think and to study together, prayer and study, as it says in inspired books, that prayer and study should never be separated. They go together in six testimonies, actually says. When you take time to study and to think, to digest it, it gives God an opportunity to talk back, and it becomes a dialogue. And that takes time, too.
We're going on a break, but when we come back, we have more questions for Pavel about prayer and more stories about how powerful talking to God is and how He can change your life. Don't go away.
Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. We're here with Pastor Pavel Goya, who has a tremendous story about when you were about to be arrested by the army for 14 years. Tell us about that.
So my father used to tell me about prayer, and he would say, God is bigger than you. God's plans are bigger than yours. And you should always say, I shall decrease and He shall increase. And my father used to say, when you pray for you, the more you focus on your problems, it seems the more you struggle. But when you put God first and you worry about God, He's going to take care of you in the best way, better than you imagine. And he would tell me, people in the Bible could not have a story, but they have a story because they focused on God and gave up self. And my father would say, whenever you want to have a story, you need to give up self, sacrifice self, put God first. And so I was in the army, and I was in a special unit that was called Genius. Not that I was a genius, but the soldiers in that unit were supposed to be trained in any type of weapons to go where the army could not go and to do things that the others could not do. And we were taught to use any type of weapons and bombs and basically like special unit. And They came to me and they said, we learned that you are an Adventist. And we learned that you don't work on Saturdays. We are communists. In this country, there is no God. You need to understand, country comes first. You need to give up God. I said, listen, I love my country. And I am ready to die for my country. But God comes first. And then country. They said, no, country comes first. I said, well, you do what you want. But I told you, for me, God comes first. They said, we are going to teach you that country comes first. We are going to teach you to give up your God. We are going to put you in, we are going to make your life miserable. And the guy said, I'm going to give you so much work. Well, he gave me more work and more work, and I did it all. And then the others came to me, and they would give me work and say, can you do this? Because we noticed that you do quality. Can you? And I would pray before every job and ask God to help me do it for him, not to the point that the work is good, but to the point that it would win us for God's presence in us. People would know that God is with us, you know. And so I did some work that they gave me. But then he called me on a Sabbath, and he said, I want you to dig a hole. I know it's your Sabbath, and I want to teach you that Sabbath has no value. I want you to put this first before God. I said, I cannot dig a hole. It's Sabbath. You ask me this, whatever day, I would do it. And I said, if it's an emergency, if your life is in danger, I would do it on Sabbath, but there is no emergency. I'm not going to dig a hole. He said, imagine the enemy is attacking you and you need to hide. Dig a hole. I said, well, imagine that I dug a hole. Because there is no enemy. And he says, you disregard my authority. I am your lieutenant. And he called all soldiers from our unit. It was 51 soldiers in our unit. Not the whole garrison, but our unit. And he said, when you disregard me, it's 2 years prison. But if you disregard me in front of the others, then it's 14 years prison. I'm going to give you 14 years to the toughest prison in Romania. And he named it. He told me, and I knew, everybody knew in the country, that was the prison that many political people would go there, or religious people, and many of them would not come back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you 14 years to the toughest prison. I'm going to teach you to give up your God. And even there, if you don't give up God, we are going to double your sentence. And he said in front of the soldiers, dig a hole. I said, I'm sorry, I cannot do it. If it was an emergency, I would do it. But this is no emergency. You just want me to give up God. Yes, and you'll do it. I said, I'm sorry. He got angry. He turned red. He started to curse God. And he said, I'm going to show you that no God in the universe can defend you from me. And he left and he called all the officers of the whole garrison. And they had an emergency meeting. And he proposed 14 years prison in the toughest prison of the country. In that time, I went to the warehouse. I was responsible for the warehouse. I locked myself inside. And I was tempted to pray, Lord, please save my freedom and my life. And what my father said came in my mind. And I said, Lord, I would love to pray for my freedom, but you are more important than me. If Joseph would have prayed for his freedom, you could have never fulfilled your plan for Joseph. If Daniel would have prayed that he doesn't go a slave in Babylon, you could have never worked. So you know better than me. So I'm going to say, do whatever you want, but whatever you do, if my freedom would serve you and help these people to know you, these communist people, and to be saved, let me be free. But if not, if my prison would serve you and would save people there, Jesus would die for them, I'm willing to go to prison. Do whatever would honor you and show them that there is a God in heaven. And as soon as I gave God permission, though it was pretty heavy prayer, you know, for some reason I had peace and I started to sing a song that in Romanian says, the one who trusts in the Lord has peace always. As I started to sing, somebody knocked in the door. It was a sergeant, short guy, Marian was his name. He said, Pavel, I want you to be honest. I said, okay. Do you know General so-and-so? And he said the name. He was the general of the 4th Army of Romania. Romania had 4 armies, and each army had a general. And he was a tough person. Even officers were afraid of him. Do you know him? I said, nope. You know, he comes once in a while to inspect, and when he would announce, we prepare everything, because if he gets angry, we lose our jobs. But once in a while, once a year, he doesn't announce. It would be a remote visit. Nobody knows. To surprise us, see if we are ready for war, if everything is ready. He showed up during the meeting. And he said, I came without announcing. And I inspected the unit. Last time I came, there were broken windows. Right now, they are all replaced. You told me you don't have a budget. You don't have the money. Who replaced the window? And they said, well, Pavel did. He knows how to cut glass. And he replaced all the windows labor-free.
Amen.
And he said, wonderful. And the driveway was broken. Who fixed the driveway? You have no money. Well, Pavel knew how to fix the driveway. He did it. His father taught him how to work since he was a kid. And how much was it? It's free. And then he said, you replaced the museum, all the exhibition from those old weapons. Who did it? Pavel did it. And then he mentioned four or five other things. Pavel did it. They said, what have you done for this soldier? Last time when I came, all was broken. Did you give him something, a picture with the flag, a trip at home, some reward, something? No. Okay, why do you have a meeting, an emergency meeting? You want to put somebody in prison. Who? Pavel. Why would you do that? He doesn't work on Saturday. What did you ask him to do? To dig a hole. Does he work if it's an emergency? Yes. Does he go against the country? No. Then why do you go against him? Well, he doesn't work on Saturday. He's an Adventist. This guy, if he's ready to die for his God, he will be ready to die for the country. Leave him alone. You touch him again, you lose your job. You lose your freedom. You touch him, you touch me. Leave him alone. And then the sergeant said to me, I'm going to do whatever you want for you. You can go to church every Saturday. Just call him and tell him that I am taking care of you. After the sergeant left, the lieutenant came and said, we apologize for giving you hard time. We are going to take good care of you. Just call the general. I said, I don't know him. Who do you know? I said, somebody bigger. You know the president? I said, no, somebody bigger. Who do you know? I said, I know God. They said, are you kidding us? I said, no. And from that day in the army, nobody touched me again. Every Sabbath, they would ask me to actually go to church and pray for them. And so I learned again and again that when you put God first in prayer, and you are willing to follow God's plan, you don't have to worry a lot. And even if you go through challenges, you are not alone.
What a tremendous Amen. Story. Thank you. If you're at home and you want to know more about prayer, just visit revivalformission.tv. That's revivalformission.tv. Elder Wilson, some final thoughts from the Bible about this.
What a wonderful, powerful opportunity for us to hear what Pavel Goya has shared. And that experience can be yours as well. You know, in the scripture in James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This can be your experience as you learn to pray earnestly to our Heavenly Father. He will reward your prayer magnificently. Grow in Jesus. We will be seeing you next time on Revival for Mission.